What is going down, everyone? Two podcasts in a week. Emergency situation. We had to have a podcast. Big news in the sports card world. Robert Williams from the Celtics signed a $54 million extension, Dan.
That's huge.
Dissect.
That's huge. I don't know. I haven't even had time to really think about it. It's the biggest news I've ever heard.
It is. Well, and actually, the real reason we're here is because National Treasures is still great. National Treasures basketball. But honestly, the real reason we're here with heavy hearts is that, you know, and it took me a whole day to digest. I was on the Twitter machine. I even took a walk last night, put on Locust by Machine Head to clear my head to try to start thinking clearly about this whole situation, which is a great jam, by the way. Check it out yourself if you need to unwind a little bit and maybe break something. But Topps will no longer have the MLB license starting in 2026, as the news dropped yesterday, and I'm sure you guys all heard about it. We're here to state our opinion and talk about, you know, we don't have all the facts, but talk about what we think may or may not happen and kind of just talk about the industry going forward. But as the Action Network relayed and a few other outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, put out yesterday, that Fanatics struck a union deal that's going to start 2023, meaning they have the Players Association license starting in 2023, and they have the exclusive MLB license in 2026. Now, what those licenses mean is that basically in 2023, Topps may not be able to use any MLB players. And then in 2026, they will no longer be able to use the license, so they won't be able to have team logos, anything like that. It's unclear whether Topps will try to make some kind of unlicensed airbrush type product. I mean, the speculation here is that Topps might be bought out by Fanatics so that they can use those longstanding brands. But it's sad because 70 years of Topps. I mean, it's Americana. It's like Coca-Cola. It's like McDonald's. It's Americana. It's part of history.
It is sad.
And Dan, what were your thoughts? It's sad.
It is sad.
I almost brought the bottle of tequila out here because it's really, you know, change is not good in this scenery. It may be good in the long run, but as of right now, I mean, I have a lot of friends that work for Topps and that have been in the industry, and I worry about their livelihoods, and hopefully they will be able to find jobs in this industry.
I feel the same way. That's what I was really thinking about last night, is a lot of the friends who work at Topps. And, you know, we're probably going to speculate here in the next 20 minutes and talk about like a lot of what ifs, what could happen. But I don't know, man, it's hard to really digest. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what am I doing here on a Friday on a podcast? We had like Wednesday, which there was so much information that we were trying to get on Wednesday. I was like, this is the craziest content week ever, and then this bomb gets dropped and you came out. I actually wasn't even here. I came back in and you're like, you break the story, and I actually was like,
nah,
I can't do this right now. Like, it's not April Fool's. Like, I can't digest this. I was like, give me a second, let me go finish what I'm doing, figure this out. Went on Twitter, confirm that you just weren't like tripping,
well,
or got
funny
some,
because
got Darren, some bad Twitter knowledge.
And
or whatever.
I don't hate on Darren Revelle, and I don't know that if any of his tweets have been false in the past, but it was almost like when Darren Revelle broke the news, it was like, well, let's wait. And then it was like, once Wall Street Journal came out, they're like, it's real. So I don't know what Darren Revelle's done to people in the past, but I definitely felt like people were like, I don't know if I believe Darren Revelle in this scenario. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I guess there's the hopes of that they do, you know, I hate to say they acquire Topps, but, you know, I mean, there's so many great brands that we've known and loved for over the years.
But we look at Topps, like, Topps is not owned by Topps. Like, the Topps that we grew up with,
right,
as, like, with kids. I mean, and 70 years. I mean, we're not talking, like, our childhood, but we're actually talking about our parents' childhood. We're talking about, like, grandparents who like collected. I mean, 70 years, it's a long lineage. Now, I get what you're saying about, like, who knows what the future holds. Is Topps on the market right now? I think everybody can say yes, right? There's a possibility that, like, the end consumer, the end user, the end collector may not even see that much of a difference come 2025, 2026. If they, if Fanatics buys Topps, they could just take the whole operation.
Yeah.
The infrastructure is there. And we could have Topps Chrome. On the back of the card, you might see a little trademark, a little Fanatics verbiage on it. But that may be the only difference that you'll see. And us in the industry, we will know the difference. But the end user, the end consumer, and the collector may not.
Yeah, and there's definitely some things that we'll get into to dissect about the whole distribution of the hobby shop thing. But I think my initial thought as I took a step back yesterday and kind of really stepped out of the business aspect of this hobby is that I felt like our niche hobby went corporate yesterday. I think that's what really kind of, you know, is the bummer for me. And I know I'm on the business side of it. But it's almost like that band that you discovered, and there's not a lot of people listening to that band, and then all of a sudden that band sold out, and now everybody knows that band, and everybody loves the new album, but they don't remember the 5, 6, 7 albums ago when they were performing at the local clubs for 20 people. And you, because that's what our hobby was. I mean, there were, or and it could still very well be, but it's like you tell your friends what you do, and they don't really quite understand it, and you kind of have to explain it, and you take joy in doing so. And I think Panini and Topps, rather, they were kind of, in a sense, corporate. They weren't really corporate because you could reach out and talk to the CEOs at events. They were at all the events. All their top salespeople were at events. The VPs were at events. They would run their own summits and things like that. I don't think Michael Rubin's going to be holding a summit for collectors. I think he's got a lot of other stuff he's got going on. Fanatics is valued at $18 billion. He's working with Jay-Z. He owns part of the Sixers. I don't think it's going to be one of those situations where you can reach out and talk to the CEO. So that's a little bit of a bummer. And I know it's big. It's a big bank, take little bank situation. If you guys remember that I've been listening to this podcast for a long time, I've said it probably 5 or 6 episodes when we talk about licenses, when we talk about maybe Panini buying Upper Deck or why isn't Jordan on cards. I always mention that Fanatics is going to be a player because if you've watched their last 10 years of ascension, they started gobbling up all these licenses from like Majestic. And, you know, they've been able to get into the game of the apparel and really put their stamp and get in the door with these leagues. So it was almost probably a no-brainer for these leagues. For one, Fanatics offered money to the players in profit sharing, which I don't believe Topps was doing. One of the also that we mentioned and we were kind of discussing before we went live here to record this was maybe this avoids the arbitration and the players holding out for contracts. So maybe Rob Manfred felt like, hey, this is a great decision to get the players some more money because the money was the talk of last year's season with the Pandy, the Pandy season. And, this is going to put some more money in players' pockets and maybe they avoid some labor disputes, some lockouts, maybe some, missed games and missed seasons. Maybe this adds to it like, hey, Rob Manfred just got us a bunch of money from trading cards.
It also says how the popularity of trading cards went through the roof to where Tony Clark can negotiate this type of deal. And I think both you guys
just
are,
trading cards specifically.
Just trading cards specifically. And I think that there's a really good chance that this may have avoided another lockout. I think the writing was on the wall before this deal that with the amount of revenue that was lost with last year's shortened season, the owners were not going to budge as much as the players were going to want them to budge, like that usually is.
Yeah.
This may have put some more money in the players' pockets, in the union's pocket, to where it will avoid a lockout.
Now, let me
ask
you.
Which is crazy to think. Trading cards may have put a major play in place to avoid a potential lockout.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. If the Pandy doesn't happen, do we strike this deal? Do we hear about this deal yesterday?
Probably not. Actually, the popularity of sports cards, if not to toot our own horns, if group breaks don't exist, do sports cards get as big? They were as a community of group breakers, took it into the digital age and basically showed people on YouTube, on Ustream, on Facebook, what you can get in these boxes and cases of cards.
Yep.
Did that basically bring, obviously it had to bring extra eyeballs, extra revenue. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I agree, and that's a phenomenal point. I mean, and I'm all about patting ourselves.
Doug's pretty much like, where's his cut?
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's Tony Clark should have negotiated some group breakers some money. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the bigger accounts, some of the, like, influencers that are in this hobby, I mean, you could say, yeah, Gary Vee was in it for a couple years before. But look at all these other guys, these other huge accounts. Sports Card Investor a year and a half ago. You know, that's a huge influencer. Look at all these Project 70 guys, these Project 2020 guys. They all came in right around that time, last March. So, yes, they were kind of working out some deals ahead of time, obviously, because the cards came out right around that time. But, you know, all these stories, HBO is going to be airing something next week. So all these stories came out post-Pandy. So people that were sitting at home had nothing to do. They discovered a hobby, and how they discovered a hobby was on YouTube, whether it being guys opening up cards like ourselves, whether it be Layton, whether it be any of these guys that are – I mean, we're live 8 to 10 hours a day, so you can pop at any time and get into a live break or watch a live break. Whether or not these guys, you know, influencers started that way, I'm sure as heck sure they came across one of our videos. I'm sure StockX got involved a little bit because of breaks. So say what you will. If we had just shops and we're shop owners, so we're not putting any shop owners down – shop owners in most states for a period of time weren't allowed to have their doors open. So I don't think we would have had much of a rush that we did without, you know, cards being opened on YouTube, Instagram, all this stuff that just, I mean, you can look at these guys' accounts. They all double, triple, 10 times the amount of followers in that time period.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, so we've already talked about the Fanatics deal. Tops, Major League Baseball. There is a lot of speculation with Panini,
yep.
The NFL license, the NBA license, the Players Association with both sports.
And there's a lot of misinformation and people jumping to conclusions.
I'm gonna say my one piece, and then I'll hand it over to you.
Yep.
If you've noticed in the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years even, Panini has had a partnership with Fanatics. On multiple levels. One level is that they have made products exclusive for Fanatics. You've had Prism, and you've had, I think they had a Phoenix football that released. I think there's been probably about 10 to 15 exclusive Fanatics releases made by Panini, distributed through Fanatics website. So that tells me that they have a working relationship. Again, I'm not speculating anything. I'm just giving the facts here. The other thing is we've been privileged enough to do the rookie photo shoot,
yep.
The rookie premiere, both basketball and football. And Panini Phillips, if not the full bill, most of it, to have that event take place. And they invite Fanatics down there. Fanatics is represented. They have their brand there. They have the players go over. They do interviews. They basically sign memorabilia, jerseys, balls, all that stuff. So there is a strong working relationship with Fanatics and Panini.
Well,
and that's all. I'm not saying that they're striking up a deal or anything. I'm just saying they have worked together in the past.
Yeah, and I mean, because the people have, and I agree completely with Dan, that there was people. So the news was reported yesterday that Fanatics has apparently struck card licensing deals with MLB, which we know, and that's been confirmed, NBA and NFL. But that says apparently. So there's nothing's been inked. Panini hasn't said anything. But there's people on Twitter that are just saying that Panini's done now, too. They're lumping them in the same category. Nothing's been confirmed. Obviously, if you're Fanatics, you want this story to come out. You want to seem like you are buying it because it's putting it in the forefront. I mean, they want these players' unions to strike deals, the NBA, the NFL. But the NBA license for Panini expires in 2025. And the NFL expires in 2026. So we have 4, 5 to 6 years of Panini. Now, I kind of agree with Dan, because not only does Panini have, you know, those two licenses, they have relationships with you know, whoever makes the cards. They also have an international presence on the trading card market, mm-hmm. more so than I think Topps does. Topps has made some Japan products, but I believe Panini, once the NBA and the NFL went overseas, it was a big hit. So I think if you're Fanatics, you don't want to have that much exposure either. Like, you don't want to own everything, because if if it does go the other way, then you're at a complete and utter huge loss.
Well, and then you can get into litigation issues if you are the only trading card manufacturer for every sport.
Right.
And you have exclusives. I not a lawyer, Doug. Not a lawyer. But I do know that will start setting the conversation
about... Yeah, but does if Upper Deck still stays around, then is that...
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That Upper Deck will still... And I saw a tweet from Upper Deck last night. They said they're not going anywhere. They not in the conversation. Upper Deck here to stay.
I mean, they have those huge licenses, just to remind you guys. They can't obviously make basketball cards. They do have the hockey license, but they do have the exclusive autograph deal for Jordan and the exclusive autograph for LeBron.
And Tiger.
So if
and Serena.
And Serena. And, you know, all the hockey guys, Wayne Gretzky, Bobby Orr, all those guys.
Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid.
I mean, you can go on and on and on. They got it.
They've got some
Ben
big names.
Simmons.
not Bryson DeChambeau anymore, but
Miles Bridges.
Yeah. Don't call him LaMelo. Cause we had to refer to episode 201 on the whole LaMelo Miles Bridges.
I thought that I actually thought the PWCC and the National Treasures talk was going to be the segment of the year
until Fanatics said, hold our beer.
Until Fanatics was like, hold my beer.
Or R, because it's
our beer.
I don't know.
Everybody,
hold my beer is the correct statement, but
hold my beers.
My beers, yeah. So yeah, we'll see what happens with Panini, but you know, I feel like they have a little bit more of the market share, obviously, with the licenses they have. You know, they have the nothing's been even mentioned about the collegiate license or the soccer license. So and for Topps, to go backwards to talk about more about Topps. I mean, Topps does have Star Wars. Topps does have Garbage Pail Kids. Topps does have the confections business with the ring pops.
Yeah, I mean, don't sleep on the value of the candy.
Oh yeah, my kids love them. So
no, I mean the value of it. I mean, it's probably a lot cheaper
Bazooka
and a better margin to make ring pops than it is to have to go out and acquire autographs. We know there's been Fanatics exclusive products produced by Panini. Some people are going to be like, well, Fanatics sells Topps products on their site as well.
Yeah.
They have Top Series 1, Top Series 2, they'll have Topps Triple Threads, they'll have all these releases, right? They are working as just a vendor.
Right.
They basically are placing an order with Topps Direct. Topps is like, it's beneficial for us to have our product on your website. You're getting a lot of eyeballs who may be in you're going there for sports apparel most of the time, so good chance that you may see some baseball cards and be like, oh, I'll put that in my card as well.
Yeah, I mean...
But they have never made a product specifically, a Topps Fanatics exclusive version of a product.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, the absolute dream scenario here for me, and I know you... Yeah, and we can kind of react to what collectors are thinking right now, because I know it's a lot of doom and gloom, but it's a lot of time before all these pieces fall into place. It's just that, you know, they had to make the move with the S-PAC with Mudrick Capital about to give Topps, inject them with a bunch of money 6 days from now. So then Topps might have had enough money to buy the MLB license, which, you know, maybe Fanatics was dead in the water. But this is the dream scenario for me, is Panini and Fanatics work together. And I know some of you business people are laughing because you say Fanatics is cutthroat and they don't really work with anybody. They do have 1,080 different partners that they have on their websites, whether it be Nike, Mitchell, and S. So they have partnered with people in the past. So let's just say, like Cody just said, National Treasures Baseball, fully licensed now. They buy Topps. You have Definitive Baseball and you have National Treasures Baseball, right? All licensed. They're competing against each other in a sense, but they're also working together. And some of it's probably going to have to be sold on Fanatics. So you'll get more of a portion of it on Fanatics, which may drive up the scarcity a little bit more. And then you have Topps Chrome Basketball coming back into the fold. So now you have, you know, the scenario where you got Topps Chrome versus Prism. You know, we have that debate. Maybe in 2026 we'll be having a hype show where we're talking about what's the better brand to collect. So, and that's healthy. That's healthy for an industry if you have those two brands competing against each other. And then you got, you know, all the other, then you could have Kobe, if Kobe's with Panini, which I don't know for sure. Fanatics may need Kobe. Fanatics may need Durant. Fanatics may need, you know, the exclusives that Panini have, because I don't know what the logistics are on those exclusive athletes. So they could play hardball. So if they start sharing this stuff back and forth, I think it makes it better for the collectors. Maybe a better customer service. I think what we may see though,
getting back to the exclusive autograph deals with players, if it does get a little cutthroat between everybody, you're probably going to see a lot more players get locked into exclusive deals with certain manufacturers.
Yeah, but we also have to keep in mind Josh Luber is going to be running the trading card portion of Fanatics, and he's the founder of StockX, and StockX is all about scarcity. So I mean, it depends on what route he wants to go, but he is all about scarcity and keeping up with the market. So I think he, you know, in a new age, you know, the changing of the guard of the old guys, the old 1950s, the 70s, the 80s, the junk wax era into the new era, I think StockX guy makes a lot of sense to me. You know, their trading card platform really hasn't taken off on StockX as much as the shoes have, but the guy knows about the market. So, I mean, and he's young and he's sophisticated as far as getting the technology that they got going on in StockX and how they handle the shoe market. And he had a lot of people behind him. I believe Eminem helped invest in that company, and there was a lot of investors that were working with StockX. So you gotta keep in mind this guy's at the helm, and I'm sure they're going to try to bring in some trading card experts that have been in the hobby that have a good track record.
And you went over, and before we close it up, but you went over your dream scenario of basically sharing a license, right?
Yeah.
Like being able to partner up and sharing exclusive, well, not even wouldn't be exclusive license, but my dream scenario is the same as that with football and basketball, sharing the license. With baseball, my dream scenario is Fanatics buys Topps, and they basically keep
Topps powered by Fanatics.
Topps powered by Fanatics, and this is selfish of me, but keep everybody who wants to stay on at Topps on. It's a lot of people are going to disagree with me. Topps, it's not a company that's broken. I'm probably going to get hated on by saying that, but if you look at their revenue the last, you know, 3-4 years, they've been doing great.
Why would you not want those people?
Those ideas. Project 2020 has been big. Project 70 has been big. Every release has been big, and Topps has been doing a great job. So why would you not want to keep that infrastructure? And it could be better. I mean, it always can be better. Like, you have a company like Fanatics. Maybe they put money into redemptions. They have more of like an insight on how to fulfill those redemptions, since they're intertwined and the leagues are now part owners of this category. So maybe that does help. But that is my dream scenario.
And one last question for you, because we mentioned it and we teased it at the beginning of the pod here. And by the way, please hit that subscribe. What do you think this does to the distribution channel? Because we all know that Fanatics has the whole e-commerce distribution already on lock for, you know, something that sells a lot more at a higher clip than trading cards. So trading cards, to distribute trading cards is a very simple, probably a very simple proposition for them to do compared to, like, you know, sending out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of jerseys every day.
If I had to like rank who would be in probably the most unfamiliar or maybe concerning position going forward, I would probably rank distributors up there at the top, right? Because we don't know if Fanatics is going to need that type of infrastructure to move the product, right? So they would probably be number one. Number two, online retailers. I'd probably be a little concerned if I was an online retailer. And I will lump Group Breakers in with that as well. But as far as the Group Breakers, I don't know if Fanatics has looked at how people digest the product. And are they going to try to poach or hire Group Breakers powered by Fanatics to basically move their product that way on their own platform. Maybe their own broadcasting platform. Maybe not even going to YouTube. Maybe they have a broadcasting platform that is solely sports cards, solely Fanatics based.
It could be. I mean, the one positive about the distribution channel is that, you know, Panini sells 70%. I'm just throwing out numbers. I don't know the true numbers, but like, let's just say a product like National Treasures, is a $10 million product that they made. Well, they can basically take $6 million of that right away and then get one check for it. So whether as if you piecemeal the $10 million and you have to sell it to 500,000 customers, there's a lot more costs in shipping. There's a lot more costs in potential damages. Like if something gets shipped and it got damaged to a customer, then the Fanatics has to deal with that. Whether if they're partners with a big distributor, any of those problems on that particular line to the product is handled by the distributors. So there's less people they have to hire. There's less people that have to deal with that kind of work. So I guess you have to weigh out the margins. Is the margins going to be worth dealing with? And let's face it, how many people are actually going to be buying? We talked about it on the show on Wednesday. It's the same week on episode 201 that there was 4,175 cases of National Treasures made. And the market on the product is $15,000. I just don't see the ability to sell that many products through the public without using the wholesaler accounts who then sell to card shops who also sell to breakers. I just don't see products like that happening. Now, if it's a Series 1 release and it's a $100 to $150 product, I could see them moving 20,000, 30,000 boxes. I just don't know what the high-end market will do.
All right. Yeah. And before – and I did basically – say distributors. Now, most distributors, and I will say this, trading cards is just a portion of their business. So when I say I would be concerned if I was a distributor only for the trading card category.
Yes.
You still have gaming, you have board games, you have supplies. Most distributors in that we deal with are going to be fine. It's just maybe the trading card category doesn't look exactly the way it has the last 4 or 5 years. But I think everybody was kind of prepared for that anyway, right?
Right, right. Well, also, if you remember when we started doing business in 2010, the trading cards were in the back. It was all about the gaming. Mm-hmm. It was about the board games. Settlers of Catan was flying off the shelf. It wasn't much of a focus on the money that they were making wasn't really on the sports cards. Well, that is it for this emergency podcast, guys. Make sure you subscribe at Mojo Break Media here on YouTube. We're doing breaks 7 days a week on mojobreak.com, which is our main feed, Mojo Break on YouTube. Also, if you want some sealed wax shipped to you, who knows? Topps product. I mean, there's that rumor that maybe you should sit on some Topps product because it may be, you know, no more. So you can buy those Topps boxes at mojobreakshop.com. We'll ship them sealed to your door. So check that out. And till next week, peace out.
Before you go.
Oh.
Spectra out today. NT still booming.
Booming.